Good morning, y'all. I think it's before we talk about the draft and processes and players in there. You know what? I'd like to recognize the professional sports team in the city of Cleveland. First with the Indians, you know, for me, I'm kind of excited. I like baseball, and my wife loves baseball. So after the draft and we go through this, we can get a chance to do some go watch some baseball. And then you look at, like, the Cavaliers. I mean, they've had an amazing season. The game they played last night, all I say is, guys, keep it up, man. That's pretty cool. Listen, in this draft process, it's a collaborative effort. We all know that. And I think it's important to recognize the guys in the personnel department, the guys in the analytics research department, and Hugh and the coaching staff for all the hours and the time they've put in this thing. And I personally just want to thank those guys. And I think some of this really, I mean, all of it doesn't happen unless – you know, D and Jimmy Haslam give us the resources to kind of make this thing happen. But listen, we all know in this room, this is an important draft for this organization and the community of Cleveland. We all know that. And it won't be from lack of hard work in trying to get this thing right. So with that, I'll take your questions.
I feel like I should ask you about LeBron and if you can get him some help for game three.
I'll tell you what, one of these days maybe we'll get an athlete like that and impact the game, which is always cool.
About the number one pick, John, have you come to a decision on who you're going to take?
You know what? I'm a guy of processes. I'm a guy of structure. I'm a guy of systems, and I'm a creature of habit. I've done it for 20-some years. But where we are in the process right now, I think the draft is 7 days away here, y'all. But I'm very confident in where we are in the process moving forward. You know, I'm going to meet with the offensive staff here today after, you know, at like 1 o'clock to 5:30. And then tomorrow we meet with the defensive staff and kind of get their viewpoints on that, in combination with the scouting staff. So there's still a couple days here in this thing to get this thing, you know, where we want it to be.
So in terms of the quarterback, sorry, I'm sure you had a preference when you came into this process, a guy you thought that you earmarked as this is going to be my guy. Has your mind been changed through this?
No, I think you have to have an open mind in this process, and I think you have to listen to all the information that's filtered to you, but you also have to watch them play the game and who is best to impact. You know, that's how I look at games. How do they best impact? How do they play the game of football? And then are they good people? Do they love the game of football? Will their teammates like them? That's kind of how I look at things.
The other day that all four quarterbacks, all four of the top quarterbacks that we always mention are still in play for number one overall or wherever you take your quarterback.
It's we, but go ahead.
But is it true that you have not yet narrowed your decision, you have not made up your mind on your number one quarterback yet?
You know, I still look at it this way. The draft is 7 days away. I'm very confident where we are in the process. And, you know, draft is 7 days away from me.
John, you said ask you, you have a unique process on how you do things. You might be in the third, fourth, fifth phase by now. Can you take us through a little bit of your process?
I think it's, in terms of the process, I don't want to give too many trade secrets away, but the process is to get consensus within the organization. I think that starts early on in February. And by that, I mean, you know, the college scouts have a 17-day meeting. We sit as a group, as an organization, and we begin to do that type of meeting. Then also, right before the combine, you know, the coaches will get a list of players to begin to evaluate in the upcoming draft. And they'll be doing and begin their process of ranking their players as well. And then we come back, and after the combine, there begins workouts. And you begin to analyze data and numbers. And then as a group, you begin to watch some more film. And then the college scouts have been on the road. Then they come back in here, and then you sit for about 10 days, and you evaluate each position as a group again, and things may have changed over the course of the spring. And then we come together as an organization, personnel, coaching, and we sit there and we begin to build and come to consensus and kind of bring that together so I can hear everybody's viewpoints and objectives. At the end of the day, we're going to try to make what's best decision for this organization as we can.
How important is it that everybody embraces this decision at number one, and not just tells you they're agreeing with you, but actually believes in the guy you pick?
Well, I think what you have to do is that's why you have to have discussion. You have to listen. You have to encourage guys to speak up. So everybody's viewpoints are taken into effect. At the end of the day, we want good football players here. We're going to get good football players here, okay? We're going to get good football players here. We just so happen to be at the top of the draft, but I'm very confident where we are in this process.
Dorsey says that friend of Dorsey says you're taking Josh Allen number one overall. What say you?
Really? What do I say? First off, who is friend of Dorsey? Second of all, I'm going to tell you all, I go black in this time of year. I mean, for a month, I don't listen to radio, I don't watch TV, and I don't pick up the newspaper. I kind of sit there and just, I think scouting, you when you do that, you see the purity of information. You see the facts and you see the film without listening to the outside white noise, and that's kind of why I've always done it.
John, how do you, when you look at a quarterback such as Darnold and you see a guy with a lot of, especially fumbles, turnovers, how do you evaluate that? And I just wondered, that's like one of the higher numbers I've ever seen.
In terms of the, you said fumbles?
Yeah, fumbles like from a quarterback, especially Darnold, where he has so much more than basically anybody else.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to sit and evaluate how he handles the mechanics of the balls. What are the calls of those fumbles? I think you evaluate that, you know, by case-by-case basis.
What do you think it
is? I don't think it is. You know, I don't think it is.
Is the first pick best player available or best quarterback available? Are you obligated to take a quarterback there?
I'm very confident in the process as we are at this point right now. The draft is 7 days away.
What is easier to fix for a coaching staff? The turnovers of Darnold or the completion percentage of Josh Allen?
Let me sit here and think about it. You know, seriously, that sounds like a trick question. I mean, we're not doing a trick question here. The only thing I really care about, do the guys win? Okay, does he have accuracy? Does he have a strong arm? Can he throw the ball in the red zone, you know, in tight windows? Can he drive the ball? At the end of the game, does he win? That's kind of what I look for.
John, these quarterbacks obviously have very different traits, but in general, when you evaluate quarterbacks, and I know everything matters, but what matters more to you, the arm or the brain, the processing, the reading defenses, knowing the playbook? What is truly matters more for a quarterback?
I mean, it's not as easy as separating the two. I think you have to be able to assess the whole package because we are human beings, and you have to be able to take the physical skill sets and also the emotional, mental skill sets that actually make the body move on the field, and how does he react to adverse situations. So I think it's in combination of how guys move on the field, but then do they have the physical, you know, skill sets to do those things needed to be highly successful in the National Football League.
What made you trade up for Mahomes
last year? What was it about him that made you trade up for him? And also, he was like a Big 12 quarterback, right? Or supposedly.
He was I think, 3- or 4-time academic all Big 12 quarterback, but yeah.
So the Big 12, the quarterbacks out there aren't very good. Maybe Bradford's been the best so far.
Well,
what was it about Mahomes?
You all know me well enough here. I'm a stickler for certain things. Unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes is with another team, and it probably would not do us fair or him fair to talk about him or another team's players. So I don't feel comfortable doing that.
When you went in the process of picking, like you mentioned, he's an academic All-American.
Yeah.
Was there anything else about that?
But again, you start to talk about the player, it's another team's player, and I feel uncomfortable because, you know, all of a sudden they could submit, you know, a violation of the rules, and I surely don't want to break those. Go ahead, the guy in the green shirt.
With these quarterbacks, one guy is described as someone that might be a fit. Another guy, it's arm talent. Another guy, they say he's a projection. So from your standpoint, when you're trying to sift through all this stuff, of those three scenarios that you might be looking for, what's the best fit for you besides the guy that wins?
Well, I think what you have to understand is first the offensive package that the Cleveland Browns are trying to get. And then you have to see if does he have those? Can he fit into those packages? Then does he have a certain physical skill sets that you know will succeed moving this franchise forward? And that's kind of what I look for. So, I apologize. Yes, sir.
Sir, the question is about your experience and what it's taught you, and how it has increased your ability to know who the real players are. But going back to where you were when you were first coming up as a scout, and then that evolution. now you're a long way down the road. How does that all that experience play into you being as confident as you can be about picking the right guys now?
Well, as I've always said, it really, to have any understanding of what scouting and players are, you have to be in the scouting world for at least 5 years to understand, to learn from trial and error. And then as you're in rooms with experienced scouts, you begin to listen as they talk as a group, and you sit and listen, film together, and you begin to understand different concepts. But, hey, maybe as a young man, maybe I didn't understand that or see this. And then you start picking their brains. Slowly you begin to develop and learn. As long as you have somebody who's at the top who's willing to teach you as a young man, I think it's invaluable to have that type of system in place, because if you have a person in place that allows, you know, young guys to take ownership in their craft, I think they're going to work really hard at getting developed. And I was fortunate enough to have that with Ron Wolf many years ago to teach and develop us, a lot of us young guys, in terms of the art of scouting. He never had a closed agenda, and he was always willing to answer any question. But I think you have to gain experience, and it's all about experience.
You're talking about going dark and everything. What's your policy on telling other people in the organization what the final decision will be? I mean, do you wait till a certain time? Do you not tell anyone else, or how does that work?
No, I you know what? I listen to a lot of different things. I think that, again, I'm very confident where we are, and I'm very confident where we are with the process. I think the communication within the building. I think, you know, example, Hugh and I, we talk about an unbelievable amount of things 4 or 5 times a day. I know ownership and I talk at least 2 or 3 times a day, too. So I think the lines of communication within this building are as good as we've had. So I'm very happy where we are right now.
Is there anything unique about this quarterback search being here in Cleveland in this division that changes what you look for?
No, you know, well, I mean, we all know the elements in Cleveland are going to play a role. You know, I think we all say it. You all laugh at me when I say this, but I think hand size is important. And with that being said, hand size in November and December when the elements are, you know, it's snowing, it's raining, it's getting muddy. I mean, the hand size, and that's what you were talking about in terms of the fumbles of Darnold sometimes. You know, you worried about that sometimes, like, so hand size.
And where the prospect comes from, like does a beach bum from California fit in Cleveland? Do those things matter to you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Once you meet the person, I always like to meet guys face to face and actually find out who they are. And then you look at and who he is, and you know, you just look at certain things, and will he fit in the locker room? Will he be a good guy in the locker room? Will guys like him? I mean, can he lead you know, young men to wins and victories. That's the kind of things I look for.
Do you have any concerns? They struggle to, when they make picks number one overall or first round picks, and getting the right guy and finding that franchise quarterback. Why are you confident that not only getting first round picks correct and keeping them on the roster, but also finding that franchise quarterback?
Well, what I'm confident in is the system that we've kind of unfolded here, because I know this particular system has a degree of success. It's been proven over time, but you know what? It's a pretty good system. That's one. And to me, repeat the second part of that question. Finish up.
I said this franchise has struggled to find that franchise quarterback. Why are you confident that you will be able to find that franchise quarterback with this draft?
Thank you. Well, again, I'm confident in the system. I'm confident in the people in the room and their understanding and their experience. I'm comfortable with the coaching staff that we have here. But overall, the process, the system has proven over time that it can be successful. And that's why I'm confident. I'm not overconfident, because you never can be, but I'm confident.
Define the system in a nutshell, please.
I would say the defining the system would be listen to every piece of information you get. You can't have enough information. Be very prudent, be very patient, but also trust your eyes. Watching film.
Has your draft board changed since the combine, or even go back further since?
Say that one more time.
How much has your draft board changed since the combine?
I mean, you know, that's, I'm not going to put a number on it, but there's been some adjustments to that board, but I'm not going to put a number on how much it's changed up or down, but the adjustments have been made. That's, you know, that's only logical. Because you actually are starting to get more information with regards to their physical skill sets and other pieces of information.
John, you changed the basically the whole quarterback room so far, you know, with Stanton and Tyrod and then the quarterback to come or whatever. Can you just talk about the thought process that went into, I understand that you want Tyrod to start, but say bringing in Stanton and just what you've been doing with the room?
Well, I think with Tyrod, I think you get experience. You get a guy who understands how to get to the playoff. You get a guy who understands how to extend the play. With Drew, I thought Drew, I've always thought the second quarterback is the guy who's got a little bit of veteran presence with him. You know, he's going to help. You know, it's that number two guy is invaluable to the starter when they start game planning on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and get ready for a game. And then also, if in fact we have to go the young guy route, you know, he will be that bridge to kind of teach them how to be a professional, because there's only one way that young men's going to learn how to be professional in this game is by true professionals, and that's kind of why you do this thing.
How is this process different than when you had the number one pick with Kansas City?
There's probably more quarterbacks in this draft than, I mean, seriously, I mean, realistically, I mean, you could say that this is, you know, I could say, you know, there may be five quarterbacks taken in the first round here, or there may be four. But there'll be a number of quarterbacks where in the 2013 draft, I think only one, EJ Manuel, he went one, and so, and yeah, Geno in the second. So there really wasn't a true guy up in the upper echelon of that draft.
Does that change a lot of the preparation of the process for you?
No, I think the process has to be consistent year in and year out in how you go about this thing.
John, you've talked about consensus a couple times. With how different these quarterbacks are, though, and you have a lot of good ones to choose from, how can you really get everybody in the decision-making process to agree on one guy? In the end, won't there still be some people in this building who think this should be the guy and other people will think this should be the guy?
No, I had a chance to draft a quarterback in the first round last year, and you know what? There was consensus. And, if, in fact, I go down that route with a quarterback, I mean – there'll be consensus there. I mean, you know, it's if you are like-minded in thinking, you'll be able to see the same things. Or we can talk things through and find out exactly what the differences are. And maybe we go back and say, I see that. Okay, I see that. So that's what you do. You just got to sit and listen and just let the process play itself out.
Is it safe to say that you'll take a quarterback number one overall or wherever you take your – top quarterback, and you know what is the likelihood that you actually would, you know, trade that pick at all to even, you know, down number two to number three or whatever the case may be? What's your
thing? I think I've said this consistently, and I think I said it to you about a month ago, that I'm going to consider all options. You know, I'm going to try to do what's best for this organization. You know, I still have 7 days before the draft. I still have to go through some of the processes. That's not to say, but you know what? My phone is still on. The power is still on. We're going to do what's best for this organization regardless, you know. And then let's say if you do trade out, then you have to weigh the value of that player versus the trade. So you have to play those two options too. But at the end of the day, you're going to do what's best for the organization.
Barkley, Fitzpatrick, and Chubb have all said they have not visited the Browns in Berea. Is that normal for you not to – conduct visits with highly rated players?
You know, a man once told me, don't show all your cards at once, sir.
You said you guys know a lot about those guys.
They're great kids. I mean, all three of them are, I mean, awesome kids. What more do you need to know about them? I mean, I've talked to each one of them on the side at the combine. I know what they are as people. Why waste a 30-player visit? If there's guys you have questions about, why not bring those guys in here?
Only function of bringing them to Berea is to see what kind of kid they are.
You can't recruit them anymore. You got to draft them.
Hey, John, have you gotten calls about the number one or number four picks yet?
My phone always rings.
You got anything that is worth considering?
You know what? As you sit there and analyze that, there's some options that have been presented. Last I saw, the draft is 7 days away, and we got a lot of time to think about.
When would you expect it to heat up?
Draft day.
John, how do you feel about your receivers right now, like who you have coming in?
Well, I think, you know, sitting in there, I think Josh is we all know what his abilities are. I think with Jarvis Landry, I think he knows what he brings to the team. And then where Corey is in the process, you would expect him to make, you know, big strides here in year three. And then with, you know, I'm excited to see the, you know, new Jeff Janis, see what he does from a vertical perspective. If he can get geared into this offensive system. And then, you know, then you have to let the, you know, the other young guys fight out for the roster spot. And who's to say, you know, we may get a receiver or two in this draft.
You talked about consensus in the building. I think there's not going to be consensus among Browns fans about what is the best thing for you guys to do. But whatever the organization does on draft night, what is your hope for how Browns fans receive this draft and the decisions you guys make?
We all know the Cleveland Browns fan base is as good as there is in the National Football League. And I understand the passion of why they're so good. I was reading a book somewhere where the original 11 football teams in the National Football League, I was going through this, and I found it fascinating that five of those 11 teams, they were all from cities in Ohio. So it just shows you the importance of football within this community. All I can tell them is it won't be from lack of hard work. We are going to do our due diligence in terms of trying to bring really good football players and awake the sleeping giant, as we've said in the past. We're going to awake this thing. That's how I look at it.
I think everyone assumes that you guys probably will go quarterback at number one, especially when the Jets moved up to number three. But in regards to Saquon Barkley, is he someone that you are still considering at number one overall?
Why wouldn't I? The guy's a really good football player. Absolutely. You can't have enough of him on your team.
You know, last year, Browns took Miles. Bradley Chubb is thought of, in, not that they're the same player, but he's as well-regarded as Miles was a year ago. How much does, you know, pass picks or whatever affect your thinking as far as holes you want to fill going forward? In other words, taking a defensive end last year high in the draft, would that affect your ability or willingness to take another one high in the draft this year?
I don't think necessarily. I think what you have to do is again, we talk about listening. You listen to, you know, how teams are built and who was on your team, and then you begin to look at those types of players and the impact that they can have on your team. Now, you know, the guy from North Carolina State is a really good football player, and I can, you know, continually say you can't have enough of these good football players on your team. And if so, it happens that he becomes a member of the organization, I'd be thrilled to have a guy like that, again, because he fits all the models we talk about. He's a good football player. He's a man of character. And he'd be great in the locker room. He's a super kid.
Speaking of man of character, Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
How does he fit in that category?
In terms of?
Being a man of character, good off the field guy.
Well, you guys always try to create the narrative of this guy that he's like something he's not. I mean, we said that back.
That's what I'm asking you.
We said that back at the Senior Bowl. That, you know, just meeting with him, he's a pleasant fella. He's pretty sharp. You know, he's fine. I have no problems with him.
Could you flush out this Josh Rosen thing that seems to be this? You mentioned narrative, so there's this. And it's hard to pin down, but there's this narrative about Josh Rosen that's out there for some reason. Can you maybe shed some light on, you know, what you observe or what you think about him, not so much as a football player, but off the field there's talk about desire to play and just that type of stuff?
Well, I've had a chance to be around him in three different environments. And every environment I was around with him, I had no problem with him. I thought that he's very smart. He is very passionate. You know, he's a broad thinker now. I mean, maybe that's the thing that people talk about. He's a broad thinker. He's got lots of interests. But it won't be from lack of – He doesn't like football. I think he's very competitive in that regard. I'm fine with him. I mean, y'all, people can talk all they want, but me personally, I'm fine with him. I thought he was a neat kid.
We good? John, last one here. You talked a ton about, being open to, listening to offers for 1 and 4, but with 33 and 35, would you explore moving back up into the first round, or do you like having those, the first pick of day two, obviously the two of the first three picks of day two?
I like having the first pick of day two. I do like that. But that's not to say that I wouldn't try to, package something together. If I thought I could go up and get a player that would help this team, I wouldn't package it up and move and go get that player. Again, I keep telling you, I'm going to keep my options wide open and determine the player versus the value of the trade options.
Thank you.